breaking strongholds. And I believe in these next few minutes, God is going to do something miraculous and powerful in this place. This is a message that the Lord laid upon my heart several weeks ago. And as I've been preparing and praying over this message, I just feel so strongly that God is going to do something in this house today that is going to be amazing. God is going to break some strongholds in this place today. And after I finish bringing the teaching, we're going to have a prayer time, a ministry time up at these altars. And I'm believing that God is going to meet people right here. And that there are going to be things that have vexed you in your spirit for many years that God is going to deal with this morning in your heart. I want you to know God is on your side today. He loves you so much, and he loves you just like you are. But God also knows all about what's going on in our hearts, and he knows those things that are dragging us down and holding us back and vexing our spirits. And God loves us so much, he wants to set us free from those things. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, about how God breaks strongholds in our lives. Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14. Who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then in the New Testament, Romans chapter 13. The night is nearly over. How many of you are thankful for that right there? The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And we're just going to leave that passage up there. I want to unpack this scripture a little bit. The fallenness of this world is like the darkness of night, the Lord is saying here. But Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, it's going to be like the dawn of a brand new day. Right? Until then, until Jesus comes back, until the dawn of a brand new day, we are to live lives of light, even though we live in a world of darkness. Right? So we're to live differently from the world around us. Paul writes here, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So we live in this in-between period. Jesus has come into the world and redeemed us, and one day he's coming back to rescue us. But until then, we need to know how to live life as Christ followers in this fallen world. I like to think of it this way, this in-between time. I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. What do I mean by that? Because that sounds a little weird. Well, it's all three. First of all, I want you to know that if you've come to Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've asked Christ into your heart, you're saved, and in a sense, you can't be any more saved than you are right now. Your sins are absolutely forgiven. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? So we are absolutely saved. God loves us unconditionally, and he has forgiven every sin. So no matter what I say in the rest of this message, I want you to please understand this is not for the purpose of bringing condemnation on your life for past failures, for past sins. We all have a past. We all have a story. And thank God we're all saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. So I am saved. But it's also true that one day I'm going to be saved. One day Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to rescue us from this world. And aren't you thankful for that? And aren't you looking forward to that day? Yeah, one day we're not going to have to deal with sin any longer. We're not going to deal with temptation anymore. So I will be saved. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him." Yeah. So I am saved. I'm going to be saved. So now I'm in this in-between time where I'm being saved. I'm being saved. My heart is changing. I'm becoming more like Jesus. God is working in my life because he loves me and he cares about me. So I'm being saved. I'm being transformed. In theology, we call this sanctification. Sanctification. I'm becoming more and more what God made me to be. So I'm forgiven, but I'm not perfected yet. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be either. So for the time being, I have to wrestle with that fallen, sinful nature. And so every day we're battling. We're rejoicing in Jesus, but we're also battling the fallen nature, the old self, the part of us that rebels against God. We're wrestling with that. So I am being saved. Now, I felt like I just had to say a word about this, because when it comes to sin, there's a lot of confusion. So what exactly is sin anyway? What is sin? I'm going to give you such a profound definition of sin this morning. So profound. Sin is this: disobedience to the revealed will of God. I mean, it's really simple. Sin is disobeying God. And the reason I felt like I needed to say this is because a lot of people have opinions about whether something is a sin or not. We need to remember, it's not a church that determines what's sin and what isn't sin. It's not a denomination that decides what is sin and what isn't sin. It's not, you know, your aunt, holier than thou Martha, that decides. Sorry, all the Marthas out there. I didn't mean to. So, but that's not it. God is the one who determines what is sin and what isn't. Sin is a disobedience to the will of God. God is the only authority that really matters, right? Now, because I've had people say, like in visiting or counseling, I've had people say who were living in deliberate, unrepented of sin, and they've said, "Pastor Tim, I just don't feel guilty about it. I just don't feel guilty." You see, what you've done when you respond to sin that way is you've made yourself into God. You've decided that you're the authority and you're the one that determines what is sin and what isn't. You've taken God's place. God is the only authority, friends, in the universe. He is the only one that determines what is sin and what isn't. So stop putting yourself in the place of God and understand that God is the ultimate authority. So sin is disobedience. It could be disobedience in my actions, which means doing something I know God doesn't want me to do, or not doing something that God has told me to do. It could be certainly with my words. A lot of our sinning has to do with what we say. Sin can even be a matter of just what's going on in my heart and mind. We can sin without doing anything, without saying anything, but we're harboring sin in our hearts or thinking of sinful things. So sin is disobedience to God. Now, why should I care about sin anyway? I mean, if my sins are forgiven, and if Jesus is coming back to get me someday, why should I care about sin right now? Because this is how a lot of people think, and a lot of Christians really don't care about sin right now, but they should. And so let me give you a few reasons why we should even care about this whole sin issue. And the first one is, and again, a deep theology here, but sin makes us feel yucky. Yeah, that's why you should care about it. I mean, sin just makes you, it makes us feel bad. In fact, what you've probably found is when you come to Christ, you actually feel worse about things that you used to do without even thinking about it. Did you find that out? Like there used to be things that you'd say or do without thinking anything of it. And then all of a sudden you have Jesus in your life and you got this yucky feeling when you say those things and do those things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you now. And the Holy Spirit awakens our sense of conscience. The Holy Spirit awakens our sense of right and wrong. So one of the reasons we should care about whether we're sinning or not is because it just sin just drags us down. It makes us feel bad. It makes us feel yucky. Second reason we should care about this is sin affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with God. Now, it doesn't affect God's love for us. You know, God loves you on your best day and God loves you on your worst day. Aren't you thankful for that? Sin doesn't affect how much God loves us, but it does affect our ability to relate to God. Remember when you were a kid and you would do something you knew was wrong and your parents didn't know about it and you kept it a secret from them, right? Like, you know you've done something wrong. Mom and Dad don't know what's up. You're keeping it a secret, all right? And so when you're around your mom and dad, you feel kind of funny, right? Like you're not really relating to them right because you know you got this secret. You know you've done this thing that they wouldn't be very happy about, all right? Mom and Dad still love you? Absolutely, they still love you. But you can't relate to them like you want to because that thing is there and it's you're hiding it. And that's how it is with God. When we sin, it's not that God stops loving us, but when we know that thing is there, it affects our ability to relate to God. So sin all of a sudden acts as a barrier in our relationship with God. That's why when we have unrepented of sin in our lives and we go to pray, it just feels like our prayers are hitting the ceiling, right? It just feels like they're, you know, like, I mean, God is listening, but we feel like he's not listening because we know something's wrong. Another reason we should care about sin is honestly, sin hurts people. We should care about it because our sin hurts other people. One of the lies of the enemy is, oh, it doesn't really matter. No one else is going to be hurt by this. Listen, guys, pornography is not just a you thing. Pornography hurts a lot of people. If you're married, it hurts your wife. She doesn't even have to know you're looking at pornography. But I'll guarantee you, if you are habitually, I'll guarantee you it's affecting your marriage. There's a wall now between you and your wife. It's hurting. It's going to hurt your children. You think gossip, because the person you're gossiping about wasn't there and they didn't hear it, you think it's not hurting them? Absolutely. Whenever you damage someone else's reputation, it hurts them whether they know it or not. Sin hurts other people. That's why we should care about it as Christians. If really the first command, the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If the greatest commandment is love, then we should care about sin in our lives. Sin hurts people. And then also sin has a negative impact on our testimony. I mean, if we're talking about Jesus and how Jesus has changed our lives and how Jesus can change your life, and we're telling other people about Jesus, but they see open, unrepented of sin in our lives, they see the hypocrisy there. And the world doesn't want to listen about a Jesus where his people are living one way and preaching another thing. Does that make sense? So it hurts our testimony when we're living in sin. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says this. It says that we should become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So in this dark world that we live in, there's this opportunity for us as Christians to not blend in, but to shine the light of Jesus. Amen? And my experience with most people who don't know Jesus is that they're not looking for Christians to be perfect. I mean, we all know nobody's perfect, but they are looking for us to be honest and real. Amen? They're looking for us not to be phony. And so when we're living a life of duplicity and phoniness, it puts people off. Sin has a negative impact on our testimony. And then lastly, why should we care about sin? Sin will destroy your soul. There's always a progression with sin. Sin wants to put down roots in your life. Satan doesn't want to get you to just sin and just do it one time. He wants to invade. He wants to move in to your heart and your mind. He wants to come in and take over. His goal, as Jesus said, is to kill and steal and destroy. And so when we continue in habitual, unrepented of sin, it's like throwing the door open to Satan and saying, come on in. So we should care about it. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Watch this. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So this is sin's goal. Its aim is to put down roots, to invade, to destroy. Now, here's the good news, guys. With Jesus' help, we can win over sin. Amen? Yeah. With Jesus' help, we can win. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And by all things, I believe that means overcoming sin and temptation in our lives. Amen? I can do all things through Christ. So the blood of Jesus not only has power to forgive my sin and cleanse my sin, the blood of Jesus has power to break the power of sin over my life so I can walk in victory and freedom. And this, guys, is what God wants for us. He wants us to know. When God has laws and he says things are evil and this is sin and don't do this, God is not up there trying to ruin our fun. God just wants to redefine our definition of fun. Right? Because God knows the kind of fun that our fallen nature desires is the kind of fun that will destroy us. God wants us to learn about how to have fun that sets us free and gives us life. Amen? This is what God wants for us. So God is working in our lives to transform us, to set us free, so we can walk in freedom. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master. Whew! Sin shall no longer be your master. I want you to think of it this way. Imagine your life as a house. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, and the Bible says Jesus stands at the door and he knocks, and when we open the door, he comes in and he abides in us. And so imagine your life as a house. You've opened the door to Jesus, and Jesus now comes in and he takes up residence in the house. And he loves being there because he loves you. At the same time, I will guarantee you, even though Jesus loves you and he loves being there, there are going to be certain rooms in your house that Jesus wants to tidy up a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus is going to look around and he's going to go, you know, you'd be a lot happier if we made a few changes over here. And so Jesus begins now in your house to move from room to room in your house, bringing order and bringing freedom and bringing cleansing. He starts putting your house in order. He loves you, but he knows you'll be a better person and a happier person, and you'll represent him better. You'll be a better husband and wife. You'll have a better testimony. You'll be more full of the joy of the Lord if you'll let him put things in order in the rooms in your house, right? And so as he comes in and he starts working in your life, you allow him because it's for your good. So maybe he goes into your kitchen first and he's putting things in order there, and then he's going to move from your kitchen to the living room, and from the living room to the bedroom, and from the bedroom to a closet somewhere. Have you ever had a room in your house? Anybody here, you have a room in your house where you just, company's coming over, and you don't have time to clean up that room, and it's so messy. What you say is you just tell, like Janice will just say, make sure that door stays closed. Right? So we probably all have that room in our lives that we would just assume stay closed, right? But I'm telling you, Jesus wants to get in there and he wants to start bringing some order. By the way, this is also why we don't judge other people's houses. Because you could have your kitchen in order, but your bedroom's a mess. And so you're judging someone else's kitchen when their bedroom is in order, right? You know what I'm saying? We don't judge other people's houses because none of our houses is perfect yet. And so what we want to do this morning is we're going to let Jesus go into each and every closet, each and every room, and bring cleansing and order and freedom. Amen? Here's what it's going to take. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. God is going to demolish some strongholds this morning. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is any area in our spirit, any area in our soul that isn't surrendered to Jesus. It's a place where the enemy still has a foothold. He's still got a thing there. And Jesus wants to blow those up and set us free. Amen? But here's what it's going to take. No more lies. No more shutting the door. No more pretending it's not there. No more excuses, by the way. No more excuses. Well, I have a bad temper because I'm Irish. I look at porn because my dad looked at porn. I gossip, but I only gossip when I'm around people who gossip. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't gossip. Here's the deal. The more excuses you make, when you make excuses, you're protecting the strongholds. When you make excuses, you're protecting the strongholds. And you're not letting Jesus come in and blow them up. So it's time to stop making excuses. Time to repent. And it's time to let God demolish those strongholds. The word demolish here, I looked it up. It's an old French word. And it comes, I'm not going to try to say the actual French word, but it comes, the second half of the word comes from the word to construct something. And so you put the D in front of it, so now it's deconstruct. So that stronghold that the enemy has tried to construct in your spirit, Jesus wants to blow it up and deconstruct it and to set you free. And notice, Paul says here, we do this with, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What does that mean? Divine power, that's God's power. So I'm not overcoming the strongholds through willpower, even though I have to exercise my will. I'm not demolishing strongholds with my own power. I'm demolishing these strongholds with the power of Jesus Christ. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. The word power there is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. Okay? It's the same word that Jesus used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he tells his disciples, he's telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit, and he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power, dunamis, to be my witnesses. The same word as Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So dunamis, dynamite. So we're going to light some dynamite this morning and let the power of God demolish, blow up some strongholds. Come on, one person said amen. Come on. Amen. Yeah, let's do it. But here's the deal. It takes humility. It takes honesty. Before you will ever become a holy person, you have to first be a humble person. Before God can transform and work, you got to be humble. You have to admit, God, I got a problem that I can't get myself out of. God, there's something going on here that I can't change with willpower. God, I desperately need you. And when we come to God that way, guys, I'm telling you, God responds every time. He loves us so much. God's not gonna look down on you and say, no, you've just blown it too many times. I'm just not gonna help. I'm tired of trying to help you. Man, that's how people act. That's not how God acts. That's not how God acts. No. God loves us and he wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. Worship team, come on up. Join me on the platform. Church, would you stand to your feet this morning?